try that again.
Once like a burning prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God,
He set me free.
Oh,
He set me free,
yes, He set me free.
give me these bonds. You know, when that slave didn't want to leave after they had been a slave so long and just fell in love with the master and said, I just want to stay here. And they drove that all in his ear and made him a slave forever. Well, that's what I am for Christ. Hallelujah. I'm a love slave. Hallelujah. Because I love my Lord. I bless his name. I lift him up and they stole it out of his hand. See, he's my God. And I praise him. I love him. I lift him up because he set me free. Free to worship. Free to praise him. Free to let everybody know that he's my God. And I praise him because he's so good and so kind to me. Sister Ann said something today, you know, that just really impressed me. You know, why me? You know, I got a lot of relatives. Y'all, I got a lot of brothers and sisters. I got a lot of cousins. I got a lot of folks. Why me? And they all, well, basically, you know, they all think I'm crazy. Y'all even think I'm crazy. But you know what? God, he saw me, and he brought me in. He set me free. He's allowing me to stay. He's teaching me day by day. He's allowing me to walk in his footsteps or trying to learn how to walk in his footsteps. And I just want to praise him today. That's all I want to do. I just want to praise him. Hallelujah. And tell him, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for letting me be free. Hallelujah.
Being raised in the body, we came in when I was a month old, so this is all I know. And singing songs like that, for some, I know I'm this way in the past, as well, you know, I've been here my whole life. You know, I've been in a Christian environment my whole life, and what has he set me free from? And, you know, and you still, even though you're brought to church and then you have to get to that place in your life where you too have to choose which road you're going to take. And I was thinking about the things that he has set me free from. I mean, we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And I was just thinking of all of the things that he has delivered me from. And he has set me free. And things of my carnal nature, things of my will that he has set me free from. And I'm so thankful, you know, and just to have, you know, that the Lord can just continue, like, can just keep opening my heart and let the Lord come in and work on things in my life. And, you know, as Rachel and I were talking about, she said, I did something the other day, and I thought, oh, that's Mom. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, when we get to those places, we're like, oh, that's what my parents do, you know. And but I was like, well, the good thing is that you recognize, you can recognize if it's something bad or, you know, not a good thing of Christ, you know, that you recognize it and you know that's something you can work on. And but I was just thinking that. I thought, you know, for a Christian that's been here your whole life or someone looking in at somebody that's been in church all your life, you're like, well, what have you been set free from? I was like, oh, carnal. Lots of flesh, you know, the Lord has gotten that sword, you know, and done a lot of carving and molding and shaping, and I have a long, long way to go, but I'm thankful today, like Brother Smith was saying, to learn of the Lord and have that personal relationship, just that personal relationship. And I remember as a child, my father passed away right before I turned 11, and then I just kind of shut my mom out. And I know she was there, and, you know, moms are always supposed to say things. Oh, you're doing good. Oh, you're pretty. Oh, your moms are supposed to say things like that, you know. And so I wouldn't all the time receive that. But just to feel that acceptance of the Lord, and I don't know that I would have the relationship with the Lord that I have today had I not lost my father. I know that may be a strange thing to say, but I remember laying in bed after my father passed away, and I felt so alone, and I talked to the Lord. I just looked up at the ceiling and would just talk to him like he was right, standing right beside me. And I remembered that love that would just come over me and that peace. And so I know he's real. No one can tell me that the Holy Ghost is not real. No one can tell me that my Savior is not alive and that he can do things for you. And I know I've said before, I've told my kids, and I know that if I died today, and I even told them this when they were young, that you guys would be okay. I struggle with that because I enjoy being around you. I enjoy your company. I would miss, you know, so many things in your life, but I know God would keep his hand on you because he's done that for me. He's helped me make it through with every step, no matter how hard it's been. God has always been there with me, and there have been times I've shut him out and want, you know, just think, oh, you know, too hard this, too hard that, or I need to fix this, or I need to fix that. But there was always something way deep down inside that, you know, God would, you know, something would, you know, be said in church, or somebody would say something and encourage me to remind me of, hey, remember what's way deep down inside of you. You have that Holy Ghost. You have that wonderful spirit inside of you that can help you and bring you through everything. And I was just, so many things. I know I just, everything's kind of scattered, but I was just thinking how thankful I am for what the Lord has done for me and how he has set me free from so many things. I'm so far from what I used to be. And I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful. You just have no idea. I was just looking at these young people when they were getting up and testifying about the youth meeting, and I think, oh my goodness, I'm 5 years from 50. And I still feel like I should be their age, you know. And I think, oh my goodness, I was telling my husband, I was like, you know, it really hit me when I hit my 30s. I think, wow, what Jesus accomplished by the time he was 33, and how far I am from that and what I should be. But I just want to keep taking one step, another step, and another step, and walking with him and following in his ways and seeking his will. And you know, I was thinking the key thing is reading his word and learning who he was and what he did and how much love. You know, when you have the Holy Ghost, that how those words are just quickened in your mind and in your heart, how much love Christ had. And I just look around day to day in this world and think, okay, am I responding to something, or am I reacting? Am I doing what Jesus would do? Would I talk to this person this way? Or would I, you know, no matter how they treat, I always think of that, of how bad someone may treat me or say things to me. How would Jesus treat them? You know, what would Jesus do? But how true that is. You know, what would he really do in this situation? A lot of times our way is to cut people off and, oh, I want nothing else to do with them. But that is not what Christ would do. He would love them and he would pray for them. And, you know, and I'm just so overwhelmed with thinking of all the things that God has set me free from and what he's done. And I just, you know, like I said before, you know who you are. And sometimes we can put on a good front for people, but we know how we really are between here. But I am so thankful for all his mercy and all his love. And I just ask that you'd continue to keep me in your prayers.
Cracker Barrel. We were given a nice place to sit by a very kind lady, and she has said that she would try to come to church here. She said, I can tell you one thing. She said, I do not go to non-denominational church. And both of us said, that's fine. You're with us. We told her about the church. And she said she would try to come. But that's not the story I really want to tell you. I want to tell you about a man and a woman and three children. As we sat there, this fairly light-skinned man and woman, he was in a wheelchair, and she was about, I'll say, in her 30s. And they had three of the most beautiful children I have ever seen in my life. They were identical twins, and they remind me of our twins here at the church. And they were dark head and had a little brother with them. And they were treated, finally the waitress said they adopted them. Well, you could tell that they had been adopted, but beautiful, beautiful children, well behaved. Well, we were sitting there, and of course we're older, and we were sitting there admiring their youth, and they were probably looking and thinking, how old are those people over there? But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And Lainey today, she said, Mom, she said there's, after what happened, eventually, she said there's a song out, and it's called Pass It On. And that's exactly what happened to us. Fish was too hard. She replaced it. I mean, we were treated like we were king and queen of wherever. And it was just a total wonderful Christian experience. Well, anyway, they had finally had to leave. We sat there until probably everyone around us was wondering. But we were just simply enjoying the wonderful spirit that we found in Cracker Barrel. And the lady came over, the waitress came back over, Vandy is her name, and she said, they just paid for your lunch. And desperately, you know, he said, they just paid for our lunch. And I still didn't understand. I mean, this doesn't happen too often, you know. And because if anything, we would have paid for theirs. But just for the pleasure of seeing these beautiful people that would adopt three children, not of their own nationality, but it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And so much so that when I got up there, because I had told Esther I would treat him, they wouldn't take my money because they had already paid for my lunch and had paid for Esther's. But the moral of the story is that if you get a chance to do something, pass it on. And so Lainey gave me a song to sing today, and I'm up here passing it on. So if you find somebody and you get a chance to do something for somebody, pass it on, because you never know what Jesus would do. But pray for the man and woman that have adopted these children, him in a wheelchair, and the joy that they showed us as we sat there in Cracker Barrel yesterday.
I want to raise to my feet and say, I praise the Lord. I've only been here 3 or 4 months, and I've learned so much, and it's gelled together, and the Lord is just working. What I want to share with you is we've been watching the Ten Commandments with Moses as a central figure, and it's just amazing, amazing at the Bible lessons you can get from reading Exodus and the character of Moses. And Moses really went through the mill. He was really somewhat of a reluctant leader, and God just worked with him. And his parents had such faith to put him out on the waters there. But the key thing is, I just love the Lord, and even when I'm watching a movie like the Ten Commandments, this comes together, and I think, what would I have done if I'd been Moses? And Moses actually was one of the greatest men. He was in the transfiguration that only three of the apostles got to see on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I just continue to see how God worked with this Moses. And I just pray each day that I know I was on Christ's mind, and he looked down through all this time and he has a mission for June, and he has a mission for me. And I'm just holding on to that, and I'm just praising the Lord that I'm right here standing. And I thank you for your friendliness, and I just praise the Lord every day.
Praise God. Unexpected acts of kindness. That's nice. It's touching when people just bless you for no reason, or in your perspective, no reason. And we live in a world, a society, where we probably many of us feel like we're constantly under scrutiny or condemnation. A friend of mine, his coworker of mine, and I were talking recently about the company I work for. There's no annual evaluations. There's no, attaboys or anything like that. You know, you don't get a pay raise every 12 months or get an evaluation. When I was with Walmart, and same with J.B. Hunt, although Walmart was more consistent about it, you get an evaluation once a year. And the department heads were given X amount of dollars to divvy up, you know, amongst their staff. And so you might have done a 5-star job, but there might have been 6 or 7 people that did a 5-star job. So you only got a 3-star raise. Because they'd have to divvy, you know, they only had so many dollars to work with. And so I learned how, if you'll pardon the expression, you had to play the system. So I learned that with Walmart, I had to transfer every 18 months to get a decent pay raise. And, of course, as a large enough company, I could do that. And every 14 months, I'd start getting my resume ready and start preparing, you know, looking for open jobs and within the company. And it's great. It worked out fantastically for me until I hit that ceiling where there was no other place to go short of going to college and getting a 4-year degree or selling out, you know, my time and being on the road all the time, which I wasn't prepared to do. And so that's when I went to work for J.B. Hunt. But what him and I were talking about, you know, annual evaluations is what they were referred to. And so you're constantly under scrutiny, and you just feel like you're constantly under pressure. Well, the man I work for, he doesn't do that. And this friend of mine, he come out of an environment where he never got a pay raise, and he never knew if he was doing a good job. He just was always under pressure as though he wasn't doing a good job. He was in a high-pressure restaurant environment. And so he was demanding in his interview. He said, I want to, please tell me you're going to give me an annual evaluation. And they just kind of nodded their head and said, sure, you know, whatever. And he was a good find, so they, you know, his insistence didn't bother them, even though they didn't intend to follow through. But the short side of all that is, it took me a couple of months. I figured out there was no, this man I was working for, he didn't have any evaluation process. If you messed up, he's going to tell you right away. And that was your evaluation process. Well, I've learned that from my vantage point, I went from, you know, corporate America, as high as I could get. I might have could have gone higher, I suppose, but I rubbed elbows with shoulders with some pretty high people. To working for a man that showed up to work in his Wranglers, and he'll never hear this, but he's the kind of guy, he's the kind of guy that would drive an old red and white Ford truck until he run it in the ground, kind of like Mr. Walton did. But he wears his Wranglers, you know, twice a week. He'll wear them today and he'll wear them tomorrow. They're not dirty enough to be washed yet, you know. He's just that down to earth. And so I went to working for him. You know, a multimillionaire, he shows up to work in his Wranglers and his old Justin cowboy boots. And that's just the kind of guy he is. And it's really on. I told him one time, sometimes I give him nuggets of truth that I've gotten through the years, and almost every time I do, he usually uses it against me. he usually ends up hurting my feelings. But I told him one time, I said, you know, the truth only hurts what it's supposed to. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that back to me. Well, you know, it's great for me in this regard that when I go to work, if I'm going to mess something up, right, I know that him and I can have a conversation about it and we'll work through it. I don't have to wait a year to get this worked out. I don't have to wait a year to hear about, hey, well, you were a little tardy on this, or you weren't following through on it. I don't have to wait 6 or 8 or 12 months to get something corrected. And so, yes, I am under scrutiny, you know, constantly. But the nice thing about it is I know that if there's a problem, we can work it out today. We don't have to wait, you know. And I was thinking about this, I think maybe last weekend, Brother Smith was talking about how wonderful it is that we can have a relationship with our Savior. We don't have to wait 12 months before we make a sacrificial offering. You don't have to wait for a particular feast day. You don't have to wait for, the priest to lay his hands on the scapegoat. Even in this service tonight, the way we have service, you don't even have to wait for somebody to get up and preach and make an altar call. If there's something that you need fixed, or if there's something that's troubling you in your life, like Sister Tally said, there's a freedom, and like that song said, there's a freedom here that all you have to do is move out. All you have to do is reach out to heaven, maybe in your seat, maybe down here at an altar, maybe with your brothers or your sisters gathered around you. And you're not denied the opportunity to wash your slate, to make, to start afresh. I think Brother Talley mentioned that today. You know, we've got a 365 or however many days have passed now. Book that we can write a new chapter in our lives. And And it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be here. The Lord allowed you and I to be a part of this for the saving of our soul, for our salvation. It's not so much, I mean, this is part of it, but it's not in a way that is full of condemnation. Let me tell you something. The condemnation is already there. When you recognize that the carnal mind is God's enemy, and you understand that mankind is condemned to die, that's it. The ungodly, the Bible says, that when they die, they're forgotten. When you recognize that mankind is already condemned to die, everything else is just, it just goes up from there. Without the Lord, you're already at the bottom. Without God, you're already got your foot in the grave. And so the rest of this process that we're in, that we, you know, that sometimes we think of as a grind, sometimes we think of as a burden, sometimes, you know, it's the anxiety that overwhelms us of this message of overcoming or perfection. Sometimes this, you know, this constant going to church, constantly reading the scriptures, and constantly singing songs that, you know, encourage us. Sometimes this process may overwhelm you, but don't lose sight of the fact that you're only going up from here. You're already condemned to die. Thank God we've got a hope eternal. Thank God. And that, you know, I think maybe you might have said that today, to always be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. Well, my answer today is that I was already condemned to die. Praise God. Jesus, He gave His life, and He told His disciples that He wouldn't leave them comfortless, and He poured out His Spirit upon all humanity, and guess what? I wasn't there, but He made provision for me. I wasn't there, but I was on His mind. I think Brother Ogden said that tonight. I wasn't there, but I was on His mind. And he gave a gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. And He made provision for me to have it 2,000 years later, just like He did for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. This struggle that we find ourselves in, you know, The truth of the matter is all of us suffer, if you will, or experience a different kind of struggle. Brother Smith's been explaining to us some of his health concerns and his age, things that work on his mind. You know, I didn't hear the Bible study, but he gave us a good report about his heart. I heard a little bit about that. But, you know, the worry probably was as great. Just the worry about, do I have blockage in my heart. While I'm thinking of it, when we pray, we should pray for Sister Peggy Beck. She's suffering from blockage in one of her arteries, or I'm not sure exactly where it's at. It was in her leg or something at one point. Brother Doyle Beck's mother. Anyway, she's struggling there in the hospital in St. Louis. So his struggle is different than mine. I'm not worried about heart trouble. Maybe I should be. I had a brother who had a heart attack before he turned 50. I'm going to the doctor here pretty soon for a checkup. Haven't been in a long time. But so Brother Smith's worry and struggle, just his own individual self, his own physical health is different. His concerns aren't my concerns. My sister Watson, your concerns, they're not my concerns unless I make them mine, unless I take you on my heart and begin to pray for you. But still, I don't experience what you're going through. And so what we suffer through, what we go through, it's real. It's all of us. We come out of this youth meeting, we heard about I mentioned this the other night, but we heard about kids that have committed suicide, kids that are violating their body, kids that have lived in, you know, lifestyles that were unhealthy. And, you know, and I read about kids that are suffering from severe depression, and, you know, and kids that, you know, are unwanted or unhealthy, you know, have different, there's a sister in this youth meeting that is pulling her way through cancer. How old is she, Glass? Under 30, huh? Early 20s. Last time I'd seen her, she didn't have a hair on her head. And I saw her in this youth meeting, she had a full set of hair. Whatever that means, she had, you know, she was, her hair was coming back, and so the struggles that we face, you know, I've mentioned this before, you take somebody who's addicted to cigarettes, well, everybody knows he's got a problem. You can smell it, right? An alcoholic, you can tell somebody is an alcoholic. You can smell it on them. It reeks off of them. But people go through struggles, mental struggles and sacrifices and mental anguish that no one knows about. Because we mask it. We're so good at putting a cover, and then the reason we're good at that is because we constantly feel this, you know, this scrutiny, this that everybody's watching us. You know, we live, how many times have you seen somebody say, oh, if you live in a glass house? Well, let me tell you, folks, everybody lives in a glass house. Everybody sees everything. And, you know, of course, God sees everything for sure. And the Bible says, whatsoever is done in secret will be shouted on the housetops. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so there's a constant worry and stress and frustration that we go through. And I was thinking about, and I should have looked this up, but I may know where it's at. Just right off. I'm thinking about the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Sorry, I didn't. Should have looked that up. Anyway, if you brethren could point me in the right direction, I'd appreciate that. But I was thinking about this lady, and the Bible says that she was caught in the act of adultery, in the very act. And so, you know, you can imagine what the environment was there. Obviously, they didn't live in houses like we're living in today. You know, a lot of people could probably come and go in the night and no one would ever notice. Because there wasn't street lights, there wasn't, you know, headlights, there wasn't any. People just, you know, slip out in the darkness. And it was dark, brother. Say it again. John, thank you. For some reason I had Matthew in my mind. But thank you, Brother Durham. Brother Stewart and I were talking about seeing the stars. I think tonight's, Brother Crafton, correct me if I'm wrong, but tonight's supposed to be a meteor shower. It's like 100 an hour. Of course, it's going to be really cold, but it should be pretty fantastic, you know, see the meteors in the sky. And so, but you got to get someplace where it's dark, where there's no, you know, light. There's no street lights. And they were talking about a street light, wanting to cut the pole down or turn the light off, shoot it out with a gun or whatever. I get that way. In fact, probably made Gladys a little bit nervous, but I had the electric company turn the street light off. We have one right over our house. So tell them, turn that thing off. I want to, when I walk outside and look up at the sky, I want to see the stars. I want to see that street light. And so anyway, so here's this woman gets caught in the very act. So she's not, there's no escape. So she, here she is captured, and it says that they to tempt the Lord, they said, here's this woman, she's caught in the act of adultery. Under Moses, Moses and the law commandeth us that she should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And so, my Lord, if just thinking about, you know, when I think about people that I know, I think about girls that were sexually abused and never seemed to get over it. I think about guys that got drug into addictions, various addictions. I think about kids that were physically or mentally abused. I think about people that have suffered in secret, suffered in quiet. And the only reason somebody even knows about it is because now they're doing other things. To, you know, that's what people do. They will act out in ways to help mask the pain of what they've suffered, what they've experienced. And so all we see is their actions. We just see what they're doing after the fact. And who knows why this woman was an adulterous woman? You know, I'm not going to speculate, but it's clear to me that the Lord knew something about her circumstance. It's clear to me that the Lord understood that yeah, you could stone her, but, you know, implementing that principle, a live dog is better than a dead lion. Look, here's somebody we can work with. Here's somebody that whose situation can be improved. And so he said to her, well, actually, and we always focus on this part, and I understand why. It said that they tempted him in the sixth verse that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And of course, you know, the interesting thing is, what did he write? What did he write on the ground? Did he begin? It's pretty obvious what he wrote, because as he was writing, one by one, they started leaving. And so, in all likelihood, he was writing, you know, each of their faults down, the things that they had done wrong. Here they were accusing this woman. Now, the thing, don't be deceived in thinking that what she did was okay. And don't be deceived in thinking that two wrongs make a right. Just because her accusers were wrong didn't make her right, didn't make her behavior right. But as she was standing there being accused of something that she was obviously guilty of, Jesus began to write in the ground the things that they had done, that those her accusers had done wrong. And the Bible says that one by one they left with sorrow. And then Jesus said to her, he said, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? In the 11th verse, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's where the trick, that's the closure, if you will. And I was visiting with a friend of mine, Brother Doug Worth. Some of y'all probably know him. He's been here at Little Rock many times, and he's been in the body for a number of years. And he's actually in Brother Sharber's church there in Birmingham now. Grew up under Brother Peach. He was telling me, he said his children were asking, Dad, why do we read the Bible? Why do we read the Bible over and over and over and over and over again? And he said, and this is the best explanation I think I've ever heard. He said, and he's got children. I think his oldest is 14, and I don't know how old his youngest is, maybe 9 or 10. And he said to him, he said, because You're reading, let's say you read this scripture today and you're 14. Well, when you read this scripture again and you're 16 or you're 17 or you're 18, you're going to be at another place in your life. So this scripture is going to mean something different to you then in your life than what it means to you when you're 14. And he said, so that's why we read the scriptures over and over and over, because each time you read it, you're going to read something different. You're going to see something different in the scriptures because you're going to be at a different place in your life. And so when Jesus told this lady, he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It's, you know, it's almost an impossible task, right? She didn't even have the Holy Ghost. So it's almost an unfulfillable task that she had. And that's how we feel sometimes. We find ourselves in a situation where we are so we're under so much scrutiny by our friends, our associates, our co-workers, our neighbors, the people you know, that we are with on a regular basis, that we get our minds set on this. I just can't do it. I can't. I'm not up to it. I just can't. I can't do it anymore. What we lose focus on is the fact that it's not us that does. It's not us doing the work. Somebody mentioned that today, I think. That it's the Lord doing the work in us, and that's what makes us free. Jesus told his disciples, he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Why is the Holy Ghost so important? Jesus told his disciples, he said, I go away, but I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and the Comforter will come, and it will lead you and guide you into all truth and bring to remembrance the things that I have taught you. This church just isn't a Bible preaching church. It's a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led Bible preaching church. We're not just here standing on a scripture or on a word or a sentence that was written 2,000 years ago and trying to apply that as though it was applicable today without the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Water baptism today means more to me than it did before I received the Holy Ghost. Water baptism to me has a greater significance than it did whenever I was 7 or 8 years old in the Baptist church. And I thought that was the end of the road. Repent, ask the Lord to be your personal Savior, and get baptized. Hey, that's good instruction. It was good instruction. It's still good instruction today. I'm glad they still preach it. But when I found this people and they said, hey, let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. Woo! A gift that God has for you. A gift that'll help you remember all the good things, all the truths that God planted down in your life. A gift that can see pitfalls before you even realize it. A gift that can awaken somebody in the night and put them on their knees in prayer because somebody else is in need. A gift that can come in your life and bring a healing from an addiction or a physical affliction instantaneously. A gift that can absolutely change your whole perspective on how you're approaching your problems. A gift that as you're praying in an unknown tongue, and no one around you can even begin to understand what you're saying, because it's not even logical to them. But as you're praying, speaking in an unknown tongue, the Bible says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but he speaketh unto God. A gift that as you're praying and you're bearing your heart, you're writing all those secret faults that David said. He said, Lord, save me from my secret faults. When you're writing all those secret faults and all those worries, all those things that cause you to stumble, you're talking to God about it, and he's listening. I tell people that. I had a lady ask me in this meeting, she's 30 years old, suffering from congestive heart failure. And she said, she walked up there to be prayed for, and said, you know, help me understand, you know, how to pray for you. What's your need? She said, I'm 30 years old. I've suffered with congestive heart failure for 10 years. She said, I'm tired. She said, I've asked God and I've asked God and I've asked God. What am I going to say? We often think of how grand it would be, like Peter. Peter walked by the man and just his very shadow cast upon him and healed him. And yes, that would be fantastic. This world is longing for somebody with that kind of power and authority. Although they rejected our Lord, don't ever forget that. And he had that power. The Bible says he even raised men from the dead and they still rejected him. But there are people in the world today that desire. They have no hope. They're without hope. Of course, what am I going to say to her? I said, here's what I'll do. I said, here's what we'll do. We'll pray for you. And we'll pray that God knows your situation. He knows your need. There's nothing hid from him. He knows your heart even right now. And I said, unfortunately, we all have crosses to bear, and sometimes poor health for some people is their cross to bear. I admire Brother Wallace. I know he's getting ready to go through. He's scared. You could see it in his eyes today. And I respect his determination to seek the Lord. And you know, I don't know if my words brought her any comfort, but the truth of the matter is, the comfort that she's looking for wasn't coming from me. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't have that ability to give it to her other than just to pray for her. And we did. In her situation, I don't even remember her name, so you won't even know who I'm talking about. But in her situation, here all you see is this simple, you know, young lady. She's 30 years old. So, you know, she might have a scowl on her face. She might have a frown. She may have this look like, don't talk to me, don't touch me, don't even look at me, you know. All just simply because she didn't feel good. How do I respond to that? You know, it's like Sister Cindy said, what would the Lord do? How do I respond? Do I just pass right on by? And, you know, you're just an old, you know, sour grapes. God, help me to learn how to be more careful, to be more kind. This isn't a word. I apologize for saying it like this, but I can't think of a better way to say this. Have more kinder eyes. Maybe one of you folks can help me with a more appropriate term. Compassionate, but I'm even then. I want to have kindness. I want to show kindness. I don't just want to be like I feel sorry for you. Let me tell you, folks. I just told you already, that there's, it's only up from here. Humanity's already condemned to death. There's people all over the world suffering from cancer, heart failure, diabetes, mental illness of all sorts, all kinds of incurable diseases. There's people already suffering in this world that have no hope. So I already know that side of the story. We already know how that's written. We already know the end of all that. And so I don't want to just feel sorry for people when they're suffering. I want to be able to understand, or at least have some discernment on how I can help them, help ease their suffering. That's what Jesus told that woman. He said, who condemns you? He knew something about her. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And so, you know, we live in this world it's a hard world. The pharmaceuticals that our kids are being forced upon our children are affecting their education. It's affecting their ability to learn. It's affecting their mental state. We have soldiers. If you're interested, I can point you to an actual documentary movie that PBS did, where they followed a group of soldiers around Iraq for a year. Those guys took drugs in the morning to get up, and they took drugs to go to bed to counteract the drugs that they took to get up. And all of it was intended to relieve their mind, because these guys would come in from the battlefield and they couldn't relax. They couldn't rest because they had just shot somebody, or they had just broken in and kicked somebody's door in, or they just saw a kid blow up in the street by touching a bomb, or they'd seen so much trauma that by the time they'd come home at night, they couldn't even take a breath and relax and rest. We've got soldiers that have come back from these wars and their families that are decimated. Their homes are basically become a war zone, where you've got parents that can't even sleep at night. They can't stand just the slightest noise. In fact, if they were in this congregation today, my voice would make them nervous. We live in a world of people that have been, their health has been decimated. Here we sit tonight, and I know that we've had sickness. My poor wife has been sick for a week now. I know that we have sickness, and I'm not trying to diminish our sickness. But what I am trying to let you know is that we have a gift. We have a source of power, of healing, of comfort, of joy that we can tap into, thank God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. I think Brother McGowan has said this before. It's an unrealized blessing. It's an unrealized source of healing and joy that we're not capturing. We're not laying hold on. You know, I could speculate as to why. But I won't. You know, because the truth of the matter is, I don't know all your circumstances. I don't know why you're suffering or frustrated or whatever the case may be. But hey, we're here together. We're going to be here together. Brother Durham, I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to go to church. And I know you are too. We're here together. This is our congregation. This is our church. This is our house of worship. That's why we come out here. There's a song. Sister Cindy Smith brought it around. That is why I come to this place, to worship Him. Well, I hadn't heard that song in so long, and she sung it a month or two back, and I still hear it, Sister Cindy. I still hear that song. That is why I lift up my hands, praise God, to give Him the glory. Oh, hallelujah. oh God, there's not a sickness. There's not an addiction. There's not a lifestyle. There's not a frustration. There's not anything that our God can't handle. Not one thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that I can't handle. There's a lot of things that I don't have a solution for. And it wouldn't be fair, you know, it wouldn't be fair for me to expect you to solve my problems. It wouldn't be fair for you to expect me to solve all your problems. But to put it in perspective, we all know the man who can. And he's given us these scriptures. At whatever point you are in your life, I just got something new. I mean, I just got something brand new out of the scriptures last Friday. Whenever I read that Judas, I mentioned this the other night, when I read that Judas had been dismissed, he left when Jesus was talking to his disciples and he gave a new commandment. Judas had already been excused out of the room. He wasn't there to receive the new commandment. Wow. I think about that, I think that might have changed Judas's perspective. If he had realized that his responsibility is to love God with all his heart and to love his brothers, he might not have done. I don't know. You know, he might not have been worthy to receive that. Obviously, he wasn't. It's obvious to me, Brother Daniels, that he wasn't worthy to receive that new commandment. My Lord, get your heart in a spot. Get your mind in a place. When God gives something new. When, Brother Weiniger, you were on the campground at the new experience, right? I imagine that there were other people that weren't, that wish they had have been. That wish that they had said, I could have went to that meeting. I had the money. I had the time off from work. I could have went to that. I could have got a part of that. Someone asked me to go and I missed out. Well, you won't be like Judas, you know, and throw yourself off a cliff somewhere, but when God does give something new, you know, I want to say this carefully, because I want you folks to know that this church, the ministry in this church, and I'm talking about the ministry in this church, I'm talking about the people that serve, the people that sing, the people that play, the people that preach, the ministry, this church, our church, is affecting people in this community that do not step through these doors. I know that for a fact, that's happening. I wouldn't want to be one of those that just couldn't muster the courage or find my way back through those doors. Because God's going to do something. And I don't want to be just hearing about it. I don't want to just be getting a text or getting reading it on Facebook or Instagram or getting a phone call. Hey, did you hear what happened at First Gospel? Were you there? No, I wasn't there, but I heard about it. Did you hear that Jesus gave a new commandment? That's what they could have said to Judas. Hey, Judas, did you hear that Jesus gave a new commandment? As he's standing there on the other side of him, you know, with Jesus's, with those soldiers that came to take the Lord away, Judas didn't hear about it. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. He wasn't a part. Now, we live in a busy world, and I'm not throwing off on anybody who misses. I mean, we were gone last weekend, so I recognize that you know, that's part of life. What I'm suggesting, though, is that there's a joy for us to be found in the Spirit of God. And we can dabble around with religion. And we can look at religion and some of the things that they do, and we can handle some of Babylon's furniture and think that's going to bring growth and spirituality to this church. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, being led like Brother Souders taught, to be led by the Spirit of God when he said, watch the Spirit, to gird up the loins of your mind, to come into the service ready to receive what God has. Fresh manna fallen from heaven. That's what's going to make this church spiritual. That's what's going to make us spiritual. That's what's going to give us the tools and the wisdom and the grace to help somebody who's in need. It may even be me. There's been times I've been in need, and I thank God for spiritual people. Praise God. That woman, she stood there, and he said to her, he said, go. He said, I don't condemn you. He said, go and sin no more. And Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. That's what I like to have. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you were to find me on my job tomorrow, after we've been, my plant has basically worked 5 days out of the last 2 weeks. And so, and we've got big orders coming in, and I'm the only buyer, and it's pressure. So if you were to find me on my job tomorrow, you would probably see a scowl or maybe a very straight, sober face. And I'd be like, look, I love you, but I don't have time to talk about this right now. Isn't that right, Mom? That's right. My mother, bless her heart, she'll always call up and say, this is Nathan's mother. She invokes that, you know, mom card. Because they know, whoever answers, the receptionist knows that if it's Nathan's mom, they'll track me down. They'll hunt me down. And that's all right. It's all right. But there's times, you know, I've said, look, I love you. How can I help you? I got to go. My wife, bless her heart, she's got secret ways to get a hold of me that I'm not telling anybody. Look, I will tell you this. If it's an emergency and you need to get a hold of me, get a hold of Gladys. If you can't reach me, get a hold of Gladys, because she almost always knows where I'm at and how to get a hold of me. So, but anyway, so tomorrow will be a little bit of a pressure cooker for me. And I'll have to eat my words. And I may be singing a few songs that we sung today, and I may go back, and I will. I do. I always go back and listen to our audio. Just to make sure Brother Joe's doing a good job, different ones. And he does a wonderful job. Appreciate his help immensely, as well as all the others in the media booth. But these songs, these messages, these truths that we have, they're here for our encouragement. And we can invest our energy, Brother Talley. We can wallow in the mire. What's it going to get you? What do you say, Brother Brett? If you fight with a pig, you both get dirty, and you'll realize the pig likes it. I like his sayings most of the time. Some of them I don't like, especially when they get a little personal with me, but most of the time I like them. If you wallow in the mire, guess what? You're going to find out your carnal nature likes it, craves it, hungers for it. But Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be in the house of God tonight? Aren't you glad to be in a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost church? Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the Word of God becomes alive in your life, that it's not just a dead letter lying in the streets? Oh, no. It became alive. It became quickened with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
this song actually came to my mind when Nathan was talking, but I was like, there is no way, Lord, I can sing. I've been coughing for a week. And then Sister Cindy sent a text message, and I was like, okay, God, I'm listening. So you'll have to bear with me, because I don't know if I can do this or not. Anyway. And I act so foolishly, facing problems on my own. I don't know what's best for me. Mistakes at times disturb all the plans you have made. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Put me where you want to, not where I want to be. If I should ask for things I want, so I won't be in your way. Remind me, Lord, I'm just a glove into which you place your hand. Not my will, but yours be done, though I don't understand. Best laid plans I've made somehow always go astray. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Put me where you want. Give me what I need. I'm in control, and I act so foolishly, facing problems on my own. I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes at times and stir all the plans that you have made. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Put me where you want. To which you place your hand, not my will but yours be done, though I don't understand the best laid plans I've made.
Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been a wonderful day. A lot of wonderful words. Really appreciated Brother Painter's heart sharing that with us tonight. And to end on that note, Sister Gladys, that was definitely of the Lord. I know that's on all our hearts. If we can just get in His will so we won't be in His way. We'll be working with Him together in this plan and not ever against what He's doing. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer today or tonight. Remember those that we've mentioned throughout the day. And come back Wednesday, ready once again to lift Him up. And if it was not so marvelous a Monday for Brother Painter tomorrow, or those, if we have those times, we have that opportunity to you know, Wednesday night, but every day to just lift up our hands and say, Lord, because we have that Spirit that He talked about today, we can call on Him, have that connection, and be lifted up a little bit higher. Yeah. Lifted a little bit higher if we just trust in Him. Right. Say, Lord, I need You.
Houston meeting's coming up, and is it February? January. February the 9th. 19th, yes. And starts on a Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're going to try to make sure the van's available and ready to go if the load would like to go. It's one of our closer general meetings, and God always blesses that meeting in Houston, Humble, Texas. So, you know, just wanted to remind you that meeting's coming up, and like to encourage you to go. So let's be praying about that. All right.
All right, well, let's go ahead and take our needs before the Lord tonight. And, dear Jesus, we appreciate You, Lord. Thank You for this day, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for coming and supping with us, Lord. Giving us Your words, Lord, Your direction. We appreciate You. We thank You for all that You do for us, Lord. Thank You for the wonderful gift of the sweet Holy Ghost, Lord, to lead and guide us into all truth, Lord. Know more about You, Lord, oh God, so we can be like You, Lord Jesus. We appreciate You, Lord. Keep Your hands on us this week, Lord. Oh God, as we travel about, Lord, help us, Lord, to spread Your word, dear Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.